All right. Morning. Good to see everybody. We missed, we were gone 2 weeks. One weekend we were in Indianapolis, and then last weekend we preached in Worcester, but you always miss you. It's like your heart is just a connection with your home church, you know, that you miss it, even though you enjoy yourself somewhere else. And so we're glad to be back. Amen. I see we got a new clock. Is that right? Is that new? It's big. So I won't go over my time because we're having Kathy's famous meatloaf tonight, so for lunch. So, but anyways, if you want to open your Bibles to Acts chapter number 6, and I'm going to preach off of Stephen. I don't have any jokes. I told Pastor this joke about Bill Gates jumping out of the plane with a backpack, and everybody loved that. But we already heard that one, amen. So, but anyways, we're going to look at some of the characteristics of Stephen, amen. And some of the best studies you can do in the Bible is when you study a character from the Bible, you know, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, and you see the qualities they had, good or bad, and all these things are written for us to learn from, amen. And so this one here, we're going to look at Stephen. Stephen, of course, was chosen when they chose the deacons in Acts chapter number 6. And for the sake of time, there's no way we're going to read all of chapter 6 and chapter 7, amen. So we'll look at the verse that I'm going to expound on as we go, just to shorten the reading aspect of the message. And so the first characteristic or quality that Stephen displays here is in verse number 5, and then again in verse number 8. Is that he was full of faith, amen. If we read verse number 5, Acts chapter 6, it says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost," amen. And so we see one of the qualities that Stephen had is that he was full of faith, amen. The definition of that word full is in abundance, amen, saturation, just a complete fullness, amen. And as children of God and as Christians, it's not talking about our faith in God and salvation, but after we're saved, amen, we have faith to walk with God and to follow God and to trust God. And sometimes even after we're saved for many years, we can go through trying times and trials, and sometimes those things just wear us out and they wear us down, and our faith falters, amen. And so it's important for us to always remember that we want to try to just be full of faith and have a complete confidence and trust in God when it comes to the different areas of our lives. And it's no new thing when our faith is tested or tried. We see it with in the Psalms, King David, when he would say, "My feet were slipping, I was almost gone." And he's referring to his walk with God and his closeness to God. And so for us, it's so important to value and maintain that closeness and to keep our faith in him. And that's one of the qualities that Stephen had, amen. He was like a full vessel, amen. He's named first out of the deacons that they chose. Then again, down in verse number 8, it also says, "And Stephen, full of faith," amen, twice. And so it mentions his faith and his trust in God. In chapter 11, verse 24, Barnabas also is mentioned as being full of the Holy Ghost and faith, amen. And so the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so for the Christian, many times if our we feel like our faith is faltering. And again, it's nothing new to anyone. It happens to all of us. But when we acknowledge it, it's so important for us to try to get a grip back on that. And even if we have to pray and say, God, increase my faith. I'm having a hard time trusting you during this time. And we saw it even with Asaph over in Psalm 73 or 77, I don't remember, where he just saw the prosperity of the wicked, and he saw how God's people so many times were tested and tried and didn't appear to be as blessed as the wicked, and he almost turned away. And he was a song leader, he was a seer, he was a preacher, a poet, he was a song leader over, I think, 280 Levites. That's a big choir, amen. And he said that if it wasn't for the sake of all the other people, he would have turned away from God. That's how discouraged he got. But then he said, then he remembered, he started to remember again. Remember when things went good. Remember when God worked in a great way, and began to remember the victories that he had. And sometimes that's what we have to do, amen. And remember, hey, remember years ago when this happened and God got us through. Remember when this happened. So it's so important to guard our faith and to keep our wholehearted reliance upon him, amen. And if we start getting worn out, or trials can wear us down, and I feel bad sometimes. I'll see someone and man, they'll have some kind of health problem happen, and as soon as that's over, or sometimes even before it's over, something else happens, and then something else, and you're like, oh man, and you pray for them. I mean, what else can you do? And so the trying of our faith, many times it can be hard, amen. And so it's important for us to when doubt comes in, when fear comes in, to turn to God and say, God, just help me. I rebuke those thoughts. Help me to trust in you. Help me to follow your method of doing things and your word. Amen. And so anyways, the first, I keep hitting this. Is this thing on? Do I need this? Oh, it's a light. Okay. You know us Italians, amen. We can't just talk. Got to be animated about it. But anyways, and so it's so important for us, amen, to try to keep our faith strong by staying in the word, staying in church, staying in fellowship with other Christians. All those things help us, amen. That's why God designed it that way. Another thing that we noticed, one of the qualities that Stephen had in verse number 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, amen, and he had a power. And after you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the power of the Holy Ghost inside you, amen. You have that power of God. For as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, amen, and the children of God. And we have that power in us. And of course, I'm not a Greek scholar, and I don't even try to look up words in Greek. If I know the definition in English, I'm happy, amen. But I've heard preachers in the past that our English word for power is the Greek word for dynamite, amen. And I work for a blasting company, and dynamite, it's just energy, amen. And so when we have the our faith in God is strong, and we have that power of God in us, amen. And God gives us the ability to do the things he would have us to do, the ability to step out in faith, amen. He energizes us and gives us that power that we need, amen. Some of the verses that I like in Micah 3:8, the Bible says, truly I am full of power, amen, by the Spirit of the Lord. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, human power, amen, but by my Spirit, amen, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, again, we have that power, one of the seven spirits of God, the spirit of might, amen, that dwells in us and energizes us and strengthens us and enables us, amen. And Jesus over in Acts chapter number one, amen, it says you receive power and you can be what? Witnesses, amen. And so God enables us and gives us the power to accomplish the things that he would have us to do, amen. And not to be afraid, to have our faith in God, to trust him, amen. One of the verses I used to always pray before I preached, I probably should have prayed it today, I forgot, was John the Baptist. I must decrease so that he can increase, amen. And that's for all of us, our old nature, our old way of thinking, a lot of those things need to decrease. And the Holy Ghost in us, that power of God in us needs to increase, amen. And the bottom line is you've got God living inside of you, amen. And to me, it's like, I'm probably a little overboard about it, but I feel like I'm a son of God, the God of gods, the God over all gods, the Lord over all lords, and God's inside of me, and I just feel like nothing can hurt me, and nothing can, you know, I just feel like, man, I'm God's, and he's mine, and his power is in me, and it takes a lot for me to get scared, amen. Like, I just feel like, man, I'm a son of God, amen, and God's living inside of me. Like, I know I'm a human. I know I'm not able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, amen, or stop a speeding bullet or anything like that. But you just have a strength and a confidence when you recognize that power of God in you, amen, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and to the creator of the universe, amen. I mean, Steve sang that song. It's beautiful, all different aspects of God, and he's inside of us, amen, the one that just cast the stars out, knows them all by name, created this whole universe over in Psalm 139, the way he created us and devised everything and engineered the way our bodies and things work. I mean, scientists and doctors are still baffled by so many things, amen, and to God it's nothing. I heard some guy on the History Channel last night, and he was talking about, wow, the moon is exactly a quarter of the way between the earth and the sun, and it fits exactly. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, how did this happen? You know, and I'm saying to myself, God invented geometry and stuff. You know what I mean? It's no surprise for him. And we got that God living in us. Amen. And so we have that power. Amen. But it's important for us to keep our faith, as we just spoke about, and for us to decrease so that he can increase, and for us to yield to him, amen, and submit to him. Another thing that we'll notice about Stephen is in verse number 15. We'll read verse 15. And this, of course, it'd be a benefit and a blessing to you if later on today, tomorrow, whatever you read chapter 6 and 7, God will bless you so you can have the context. But Stephen over here, in verse 11, they summoned men to accusing Stephen of speaking blasphemous and stirred people up against him, amen, and brought up false witnesses. Then in verse number 15, look what it says. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been a face of an angel. Amen. And they all saw it. They were trying to accuse him of being a troublemaker, accuse him of being a blasphemous and a heretic and all those things. But everybody that looked at him just saw that light in his face. Amen. And that's one of those things that a child of God, amen, that when we have the power of God inside of us, when our faith is strong in God, it almost radiates off of us. Amen. That's why all the old painters would always paint like a little glow or a halo or something, trying to recreate that image, amen, of someone being radiant and having that light of God. Over in Exodus 34, most of you will remember Moses went up into the mountain and he spent time with God, and when he came down, his face was shining. And he had to put a veil. The people were scared of him, amen, because his face was shining, because he had been with God. And for us, when we spend time with God, amen, it rubs off on you, amen. If you spend time with God, God will rub off on you. If you spend time with the devil, he'll rub off on you, amen. And so it's so important for us, again, to have that faith and recognize that power that God puts in us and his indwelling in us, amen, and to allow the light of God. The Bible tells us not to hide our light under a bushel, amen, and we're the light, amen, we're the light of the world. We're the ones that Jesus was the light of the world when he was up, but when he was on that cross and died, amen, he transferred that responsibility to us and to our generation, amen, to be the light of the world, amen. And to have that radiant countenance, amen, and to for that just to show in your face, amen. And we've all seen people that live like a hard, sinful life. You see it in their face, you know. You're just like, boy, what a rough life that. Most of it can be brought on by yourself, by our own choices and our own decisions and things, but for the child of God, amen. And then you can see someone like that get saved, and you see their countenance change. First person that I led to the Lord, I don't want to take too long, but the first person that I led to the Lord was this big biker guy. Had long red hair, a big red beard, scary looking, in the course of talking to him, he said that nobody ever told him that God loved him and things like that. And I didn't even know how to lead him to the Lord, so I ripped the back page off of a chick track, and I just said, you know, just go back in your cell. He told me he was going to commit suicide that day. And so I knew God definitely impressed me to talk to him. I had never witnessed anybody in my life. And I was sitting there. Both of us were in isolation, and they let you out for 1 hour. I had gotten a flight and got put in a hole, they call it. And he was in there. And I had gotten saved before that, but I had never yielded to God. And that was when God called me to preach. And he had said, you need to talk to that guy, Dave. And I didn't even like that guy, Dave. So it was like, man, I don't really like him. But I was just so afraid of not being right with God. I just said, I'll do it. I don't even know what to say, but I'll trust you. And I started to talk to him, and he was receiving what I was saying. Then when he told me he was going to hang himself that day, and I was like, no, no, no. Now I really know God wanted me to talk to him. It just really confirmed it. And anyways, he went back to his cell, and I was in mine and just prayed for him over the course of the night. And the next day when he came out of his cell, and I saw his face before he even said anything, I knew he trusted the Lord as his Savior. His face just was lit up, and he had a little more pep in his step. And I was like, you trusted the Lord? And he goes, yeah, I did. And he goes, because I said to him, just pray and ask God to make himself real to you. And somehow he got 2 newspapers that day. And to him, it was God was making himself real. He got 2 newspapers, 2 like Boston Heralds instead of just 1. And somehow in his mind, he took it as it was a sign from God, and God was making it. And he trusted the Lord. He read that. And then I was able to get him moved out of his cell across from mine. And we would sit on the floor and look through a little hole and read the Bible and talk to each other for like 15 days. And I got sent somewhere else, and whatever happened to him. But that rate, I still will never forget his face. He didn't even have to say a word to me, and I saw in his face he prayed and trusted Christ. And so for the child of God, when we have the faith of God and the fullness of God, that power of God in us, amen, it shows, amen, it shows in us. The next thing we notice is very important. We're definitely not going to read, but from chapter 7, verse 2 to 53, this is when Stephen relates the whole like history of God dealing with Israel and preaches to this group here before they kill him. And so the point here is that Stephen was full of the scriptures, amen, and that's so important for us as Christians, is to be familiar with our Bible, amen, to be able to use the Bible. Again, faith comes by hearing the word of God. The Bible, Jesus tells us, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so we lift Jesus up, amen, we lift the word of God up, and we'll get better results than lifting ourselves up, like our experiences, and all of those sometimes play a small part in things, but if you can give them what the Word of God says about something, amen, you're much better off. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, amen, to preach the Word, amen. And so to be full of the Word of God, amen, and to allow that Word to fill you and saturate you, along with the power that God gives us to serve Him and to live as Christians, and the faith we have, amen. You're like a warrior with a sword, amen. The Bible says this is the word of God is what? The sword of the Lord, amen. You know what that is in Latin? Gladius Domini, the sword of God, amen, in Latin. And this is our sword. And just like if you were some sort of warrior or gladiator, you would want to know how that thing feels, how to turn it and maneuver it and every little thing about it. And for us, the Word of God is like our weapon. This is what we use, amen. I can't remember, there was an evangelist, it might have been Rickenbacker, and I think you know him. And he said that he was preaching at this place one time, and he said that, and it was, of course it was down south, because we would never do that up here. And he said he was preaching, and he said there was a guy standing in front of him the whole time, and he kept like aiming the Bible at him, and then he got up, and he's like aiming the Bible at him while he was preaching. Like the word was coming out at him or something. But sometimes the Southern people have a little less formal way of worshiping than us, amen. But I like the way we do it. They always accuse us of not having good preachers up here, but I tell you what, we got some good preachers up in New England, amen, and good Christians. But because we don't run around with the handkerchief, you know, and stuff like that, then they're more spiritual than us. But that's not true, amen. It helps them, I guess, anyways. And so it's so important for us to be full of faith, recognize that power of God's living inside of you. You're a child of God. Allow the light, your light to shine, amen, and to be full of the scriptures, amen. And again, I think I told the folks last week when I preached, don't be afraid that you don't know enough, because if you go to church, you'd be surprised, just from listening to sermons, you probably already know more than them anyways, and the Holy Spirit will give you remembrance of things and give you the right words to speak, amen. And so don't let that hold you back and say, well, I don't want to talk to them because I really don't know my Bible that good. Tracts are so good because it explains everything. The plan of salvation even gives you, most of them, a little prayer on the back. Use one of those to guide yourself, or even write. I remember when I first had gotten this Bible, in the front of it, I wrote a thing and taped it in there on Calvinism, you know, just so when I, because we don't get in many conversations with Calvinists, and just so I could remember, you know. I know, but sometimes off the spur of the moment, off the top of your head, you can't think of something. And so whatever you need to do, amen, and you can write all over your Bible, God will not get mad at you, amen. He will not get mad at you. Look at And Pastor's is worse than mine. He's got arrows going across things. And sometimes we'll go back and look at, I'll go back and be like, oh, I think God wants me to preach out of Ephesians. And I'll be like, where's Ephesians? There's like three different sermons, crisscross, and you can't even remember why you said what you said. And then you get a new Bible and God will bless you, amen. And so anyways, just try to be full of the scriptures, amen. Allow the, and they'll help you when you go through a trial or something. A verse will pop into your head, great peace have they that love thy law, or nothing, you know, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is, and it'll help you, amen, at that time when you feel yourself getting scared or addled or you're not trusting, and all of a sudden these verses will come to you, amen. And so it's good for us, and it's good for us to be able to reach others, amen, when the time comes. So be full of faith, full of power, amen, full of light, let your light shine, full of the scriptures. And then another thing we notice is that Stephen was full of courage, amen. He was full of courage. He didn't allow the, in verse 12, it says, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. They came upon him. They caught him, amen, brought him to the council. And Stephen still went on in chapter 7 and preached that whole sermon on the history of Israel and from the call of Abraham to them rejecting Christ. And, of course, we know the end of the story. They got mad. They gnashed on him with their teeth. And they stoned him, amen. But he didn't cower. He didn't get afraid, amen. He had the strength of the Lord, amen. Some of the verses the Bible tells us, amen, to be strong and of good courage and things like that. And some of those verses will help you memorize them, amen, memorize them. And so that you can refer to those verses. Proverbs 28:1, the Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion, amen. Pretty much I don't think a lion's afraid of anything, amen. It's the king of the beasts, amen, the king of the jungle. I mean, a lion will go after an elephant, no matter how much big it is of them, amen. Not afraid of nothing, amen. And the Bible tells us that the righteous, amen, those that are saved have the imputed righteousness of Christ, that we're bold as a lion, amen. And we can have that confidence, amen, that courage. We just know, we know God's in us. We know God's with us. We know God wants us to serve him. That's how guys that street preach, when you get surrounded by a crowd of people that are hostile, and people that are yelling things at you, I mean, it could be a scary time, amen. Street preachers are out there all the time, amen. They just, they have that boldness and courage that, you know, God is with you. Me and Pastor street preached in Hobbit Square for years, amen. And you'd get surrounded sometimes and you couldn't see any of the guys you were with, and people would be yelling things at you and leaning over people in front of them, yelling things at you, and you just stay focused and preach the word, and amen. It could be a scary thing, and we had a few guys out in Maynard that were, you know, stonemasons, strong construction type guys, and they and we had a guy that was a Green Beret that had went to Irvin Burke's church, he said, I can't handle that. He said, I just said, you know, but then you have just a regular, some of the ministers, just little guys or people, some guys even with a handicap, and man, they'd have that boldness and stand in. That crowd didn't bother them, but then you got a Green Beret that couldn't handle that crowd being around them, amen. And so God gives us that courage, amen. I'll show my age and quote John Wayne, amen. John Wayne said the definition of courage is getting on your saddle or saddling up, even though you're scared to death, amen. And that's what we do, amen. Even though we're scared to death and the human nature, we street preached and we saw Brother Corbin get arrested. We saw homosexuals trying to take his Bible down in South Carolina, Lee Furr. He was a missionary to the Turks and Caicos Islands. He's in this little town called Swansea. And we would street preach there on Saturday mornings. And this old guy with a cane was walking up the street, you know, really slow, walking up the street. And we were all standing, and Lee, he got up to Lee, and he cracked him right in the head. He had to get stitches in his head. And you need that courage of God. I street preached with, do you ever street preach in Manhattan with Pastor Veach? And talk about Times Square, New York, the crowd there, amen. That was where I brought my deacon and my associate. The first time they ever went street preaching, I was like, I'm going to put them in the baptism of fire. and I took them to Times Square, amen. And if they could survive that, then everything else would seem minimal, you know. And so we have that courage, amen. So maintain your faith. Keep strong faith. Be full of faith. Be full of power. Amen. Allow your light to shine. Amen. You don't put a bushel over it. Put it under the bed. Be familiar with the scriptures. Amen. Probably one of the most important. Have courage and boldness in God. Amen. And then that will translate itself to you. And the last thing we notice about Stephen, big one for all of us, is in verse 60. We'll read verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Look what it says. And he kneeled down, and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Amen. And then he fell asleep. Amen. And so forgiveness is a big thing. Amen. Unforgiveness will stymie you. It will hold you back. Will put a wedge between that free-flowing connection between you and God, amen. And in spite of all the cruelty, their violence, their malice and everything to Stephen, the last thing he says, and he says, and he cried, amen, with a loud voice, amen. That cry, that loud voice indicates just an intensity, amen, and a force behind his words, amen, asking God to forgive them. And we all know from that are familiar with the scriptures that made an impact on the Apostle Paul years later, because Paul even brings it up, I think, in Acts chapter 26 or something. And it was years and years and years later, remembering when they stoned Stephen. And so that unforgiveness is a holds you back, amen. It's a weight that you don't need to carry around, resentments, all those things, amen, will hurt you and hinder you and hurt others and hurt your family, amen. And I know it's not always easy, but the Bible says to pray for those that persecute you, pray for those that speak evil of you, amen, and try as best as you can, amen, to have a forgiving spirit. It tells us in Ephesians 4:32 to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another. Amen. Don't be hard-hearted, amen, and unforgiving. Be tender-hearted and forgiving. Amen. And anyways, I'm going to end it there. So be full of faith, full of power. Amen. Light, scripture, courage, and be a forgiving person. Amen. Because Christ loved us and forgave us. Amen.